The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. It is Wednesday evening at about 11:55 p.m.
October 24th.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers have just lost earlier this evening to the Brooklyn Nets to drop to 0-4. Jason, I'm going to revise my prediction that I made on our NBA preview pod. I believe that I had the Cavaliers finishing with a record of 42-40. I'd like to amend that prediction, 0-82.
Oh, I'm not ready to go to that extreme.
Who are they beating? Who are they going to beat? Come on, they've lost to two of the worst possible teams. Although I will say Brooklyn, I'm guessing, is going to have an improved record this year.
Yeah, they're going to have an improved record on the year that they actually own their draft pick, and they're not going to get a good draft pick. So it's going to be comical, and it's going to be so Brooklyn. But I didn't see this. I talked about it. I was texting you and before the season, like watching the preseason games. They looked like, I know it's preseason, but they looked like they had some kind of continuity. They had some kind of system working. But I just don't get the rotations at all, because I know they're saying they're going to go young and they're trying to work young and whatnot. But in the preseason, they didn't do this. They didn't play this rotation at all. And so I just don't get it. And, you know, I know Gilbert's been really adamant that this is not a rebuild, but it sure smells like a rebuild to me right now. 0-4, and like you said, we lost to the Hawks. We lost to the Nets. And to be fair, I don't think that the first game against Toronto that we looked that bad. I thought the Toronto game was probably our best game of the season.
Yeah, that game was semi-encouraging.
It was encouraging. And after, you know, I was texting you saying, they're going to be pesky. They're gonna fight through this. They're gonna play tough and hard-nosed. And, you know, you have... Arguably, Toronto and Boston are the class of the East, okay, and Philadelphia too, although they're losing currently to Milwaukee. But you know, I was strongly encouraged by the way that they played against Toronto, and I've watched quite a few minutes. I watched every minute of Game 3 on Sunday with the Hawks.
All right, well, here's what I watched. I watched one possession of tonight's game. I happened to turn it on when there was, I think, 34 seconds to go in the first half, and Jordan Clarkson dribbled down the floor 1-on-5 and took a fadeaway 17-footer. At the halftime buzzer, and that was so Jordan Clarkson. I used to have a saying that I loved when we had Dion Waiters, and me and my daughter would always repeat this saying, and I would always say, Dion Waiters, he loves to shoot. And now I've just transplanted Jordan Clarkson's name into that particular saying. Okay. And so now I just say, Jordan Clarkson, he loves to shoot. That guy does not pass the ball.
So the one thing I do want to point out, I really think that Chetty has been about the lone bright spot. He didn't have a good game on Sunday, Games 1 and 2, he played well, and tonight he had a pretty solid night. I think
I like him. He's gonna be a good player. I think
we talked about this earlier. I think this was the one mistake we made last year, and you know, they didn't give him a chance to really play. And I think now watching him play,
I think if he had played a lot last year in the regular season, I think he would have been, again, not a difference maker at all against the Warriors, but he certainly could have been a guy that you could have put out there on the floor had he been given experience during the regular season.
I would much rather have had him on the floor than all the minutes of Rodney Hood that we experienced.
Wait, theoretical Rodney Hood? Or the real Rodney Hood?
And I can't believe he's starting. My gosh. Like, I know that they're trying... the whole young thing, but God, I can't believe that. I mean, Rodney Hood is starting... And like, JR is not even getting any minutes.
Well, the reality is those guys, I mean, very, very soon, the Cavs are going to be making a decision that we have to trade those guys and just sink to the bottom of the league. Unless something changes, I don't think that they're going to miraculously turn it around. At least there hasn't been any signs in these first four games.
So the quote of the night had to have been, I was flipping through Twitter, the quote of the night had to be, Rondae Hollis Jefferson talked on the Nets, talked about how, you know, Kevin Love's their offensive threat, and we really had to make sure we didn't follow him because that's where he gets all his points, is at the free throw line, which if you go back and look at the first three games, I think he was average. He had, after three games, he had the most free throws in the league, Kevin Love.
He's good at drawing fouls. There's no question
about
that.
He's gonna
look real good on the Denver Nuggets or the whoever. He's gonna end up somewhere.
I'm starting to fully buy in, and I don't think that's gonna happen during the season, but I think this will be Ty Lue's last season as the Cavaliers head coach because this season's gonna have such a stink on it if it continues the way that it's gonna go. And I would gladly eat my words here. If something happens, something miraculous, but I don't think anyone's turning into LeBron James. But I think that there's going to be such a stink on it, and Gilbert's going to want to try to rebrand the whole situation that I don't think Lou survives after this season. I just don't see it unless something miraculous happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see him turning it around. There hasn't been any signs of it in the first four games that we can see. And so you have to look at it, you know, if their pick falls outside the top 10, they're going to lose that pick. So they definitely don't want to be the 9, 10, 11th place in the Eastern
Conference. This might be the fifth time we have the number one pick.
It could be. I mean, in the Eastern Conference, you don't want to fall in those slots. I mean, if you make the playoffs, then obviously that's, I think, what the management wants. I think that's what Dan Gilbert wants, is that, you know, they make the playoffs. But I think the reality, again, the longer this losing streak to start the season continues and the more they look lost, the more likely it is at some point that they just cut bait with the guys who have been, you know, veteran players from the championship years, and you just go into full tank mode and you try to get to the top of the draft. And, you know, I guess we'll have to do some draft podcasts later in the NBA season.
It might be December, and we might be talking about drafts.
We might be looking at the trio of guys from Duke.
My buddy and I, we haven't really been doing it this year, but every time back in the day when LeBron was gone the last time, every time the Cavs would lose, we would send a text that said "Lotto pick, Lotto pick, Lotto pick," and every time they would win, we would send a text that said "No, no, no." So, so I think maybe I need to.
We haven't gotten. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet. It's a little bit early. It was weird. What was weird tonight was watching my 34 seconds of Brooklyn Nets basketball and not be invested in them winning or losing. Last year, spending so much time checking the Brooklyn Nets scores to see where they're going to end up.
And I have to say, that's been the other disappointment. Sexton had a really good run in that game too, like at the end of the second game against who did we play the second game? It escapes me, but other than that, that's been his one shining moment. Like, he didn't really look that good against Toronto. He was awful against Trae Young, who lit it up on us on Sunday.
I'm just going to count on Coach Showalter's recommendation that he liked Colin Sexton, so I'm going to just go with that and hope that he's going to be able to turn into.
And he didn't play well tonight either. So I don't know. Any other overarching NBA thoughts you have right now? Houston lost again tonight.
I did not see that yet on the scoreboard.
Houston lost tonight. So Mike's prediction.
I will say my predictions of Rockets' lack of tremendous success, I think, is out there. I also think that the Lakers, I think I said they were going to be 40-42. I think that's what I said. I think that prediction to me is looking pretty solid. I just don't think that they have. I just don't think they have the right mix of guys that are capable in the Western Conference.
They were slaughtering the Phoenix Suns today, but okay, I mean, well, it's a team they should beat.
I mean, there's really only a couple bad teams in the West, and Phoenix is one of them. And I think by the end of the year, I think Phoenix, you know, I think Booker and Ayton are going to be, those guys are going to be very, very good. Booker already is very good, and I think Ayton is certainly going to get there if he's not already there now. So, I don't think the Lakers are going to be, if they get in the playoffs, I mean, the people who are predicting them to be in the top four teams in the West, I think that's insane. They may sneak in at the bottom of the half of the playoffs, but if I was if I was betting money, I just don't think that cast of characters is going to make it. I think Toronto looks really good. I've watched bits and pieces of their games. If Kawhi gets to the level that he's capable of getting to, I think that, you know, all of a sudden they have a window that, you know, they can certainly make it to the finals. Again, we all know that, you know, unless somebody from Golden State gets injured, it's all irrelevant.
Yeah.
The other prediction that I have that I think is looking pretty good is Giannis as our MVP. Throw out that stat that you shared with me
he's the first player to open the season in the first four games with getting at least 25 points and 15 rebounds in their first four games of the season. He's at 32 points tonight right now. The last person was Wilt Chamberlain in 66 or 67, something like that.
So I will say that anytime you can be mentioned in the same breath in terms of a record with Wilt Chamberlain, then you're in pretty good company. Yep.
Before you got here tonight, it was like the end of the or the beginning of the game, and they were talking about it, and Jeff Van Gundy was going off about how, I hate how we're always comparing the greats to a guy who's only been in the league for two or three seasons, but I'm like sitting here thinking, well, I mean, it's a true statement, and I know the league is very different than it was back then, but at the same time, you know, it is a true statement.
Well, and the thing is that it's fun. That's what sports and talking and getting to be able to have these kinds of arguments and discussions, that's what's fun about sports. And so I think when you throw out a stat line that hasn't been accomplished since Wilt, you're doing something impressive. Right. Although, and then the other thing that, you know, you said, what are some of the things that you see in the NBA? And I think the pace is just the thing that's jumping off the page at not just the two of us, but anybody who's watching the league or anything that you read is all about, you know, how fast the league is playing. And again, it just makes you, again, all these teams they're all kind of reading from the same playbook in terms of shooting a lot of threes, getting up and down the floor, trying to maximize their efficiency. And it's just interesting to see the way that that's all coming together in different ways. It'll be interesting to see what the final set of statistics looks like in terms of what the leading scorer in the league, how many points he averages, and many rebounds. Well, there's just so many more possessions.
When I saw Embiid was averaging 28.5 points per game and was seventh in the NBA in scoring, I mean, that, I know it's early, but that's really high to be seventh. I mean, yeah, 4 years ago, that would have been probably leading.
That's very, very close to being the leading scorer. It's been, I don't know, we haven't had, I'm trying to think who the last 30-point average guy has been.
That's not something I know.
The guy has been, I think maybe Durant 1 year when he won the scoring title might have got to 30. I don't know if
He was still in OKC.
Yeah, but
I think Curry ever did.
Curry never got to 30?
I don't think so.
So, you know, but I guess this year I would guess that if the pace stays where it is now, whoever the leading scorer in the league ends up being is going to average over 30. And, you know, you probably say the guy who leads the league in rebounds probably going to average over 15, just again by virtue of the number of possessions. If the number of possessions per game stays where it is now, man, it's going to be the statistics.
One more thing, two more things on the Cavs, and then we can end because we've already gone longer than we intended. The Cavs was blowing my mind when I heard Jim Jones and the other guy, I can't think of his name, talking about it in the car ride home from work today. They said the Cavs are winning the rebound battle, but losing games. And no team had ever won the plus-minus rebound battle to the extent that the Cavs had won and lost all their games to start the season. The first half was coming to the end, the Cavs were out-rebounding the Brooklyn Nets 35-24, and they were losing by 6 points. That stat is ridiculous. That you're getting, because when you think back, if you win the rebound battle, theoretically you should, because you have so many more opportunities and so many more chances, and we've been winning the offensive rebounding battle too, and getting so many rebounds in the offensive end. But I think it comes down to you got to make your shots after you get the rebounds, and we're not just doing that. But it's crazy that the Cavs are rebounding at the level that they are rebounding and having such terrible success on the offensive.
I think there's analytical data out there that shows that offensive rebounding's value is limited in terms of versus getting back on defense and preventing teams from getting open threes in transition.
I was going to say, that's one thing.
And so all these teams are basically, you know, are basically punting on offensive rebounding. They're just, you know, they're just so focused on getting back on defense that nobody's crashing the offensive boards. And again, it's just a different philosophy. It's a different way of looking at the game. And part of me, as you think about all of these analytics and just how different the game looks than it used to look. And obviously more scoring is entertaining. I don't think basketball has ever been as popular as it is right now. And, you know, the number of people that are doing what we're doing and talking about the NBA or writing about the NBA or watching the NBA has never been higher. But it's interesting. You wonder at what point does it become almost too much where nobody's shooting any shots at all except for threes, layups, and free throws. Yeah. And, you know, again, you got to have the personnel to be able to do that, and I'm not sure the Cavs have the personnel. To me, their biggest problem is they just don't have anybody who can create. Everybody they have is a secondary player, and there's nobody who's a primary playmaker.
Well, come on, Jordan Clarkson, man.
He's a playmaker. Jordan Clarkson, man, he loves to shoot. Guy loves to shoot.
Okay, so let's wrap it up this way. So here are the next four games. Tomorrow night, the Cavs play the 3-0 Detroit Pistons, who I predicted was going to have.
Where is this game at?
It's in Detroit.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Saturday, home against the Pacers. I'm calling it as a loss right now.
That's a loss. Pacers.
Nope. Oladipo is going to drop 35.
Yeah, Pacers want a little revenge.
Okay. Thank you, schedule makers. We have off until October 30th, and we get to play Atlanta at home again. So that might be, you know, Trae Young is going to come in all confident after dropping 35 on us.
That's a loss.
He's going to have a stinker. You're going right now a loss.
That's a loss. Listen, I have him at 0-82, so
okay.
Keep going. Let's go.
I'll do the next two. Thursday next week, November 1st, it's a loss home against Denver. Denver's the nice surprise.
That's
right
a loss. Now wait, Jokic. He had a triple double, right, and didn't miss a shot the other day.
Yeah, the perfect triple double.
11 for 11.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, I saw his box score. I didn't see any of the game.
Okay, we'll do two more because I think the fifth. I think on the fifth we might have a shot.
There's no shot.
November 3rd at Charlotte.
Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, here's the game I think we have a shot at. Monday, November 5th, at Orlando, because they've looked pretty bad as well.
No, Orlando just beat the other night. Last night they beat somebody.
They're 2-2.
They beat last night? They beat somebody good. Come on, figure out who it is. Who they beat last night?
I don't know.
104-103. Your boy Vooch had like 24 or 26, something like that.
I've confidence.
I'm the biggest NBA box score aficionado there is. I may not.
Is that all you look at? You don't watch any of
these. I may not watch any of these games, but I know.
You may never have seen what's his name play, Jokic play, but
yeah, yeah. I watched him play here the other night. I saw him play for like 25 seconds before we had to turn it off.
All right, so that's kind of our little emergency beginning of the season.
Hey, remember you heard it here first. Cavs 0-82. I want one of those guys from Duke. I want Zion Williamson. I want Zion Williamson here.
I know.
I want him here dunking on people.
I know Mike won't know this person, but in honor of Marty Sleva from IGN, if the Cavs go 0-82, I will eat my coffee mug.
From what? IGN?
IGN. It's nothing new. It's movies and TV and stuff. But he said on a podcast that if something happened, he was going to eat a mug, and then it ended up happening, but then he didn't eat the mug. I'm just saying, if the Cavs go 0-82, I will eat a coffee mug.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you listening to our thoughts on the Cavaliers and NBA. We'll be back sporadically throughout the NBA season with some short little pods like this, and we'll also throw in probably some longer ones where we'll get our boy Trevor Huffman back on here to talk
NBA. Yeah, I'm already dreading a conversation.
Yeah,
tomorrow's text chain might be bad for us.
I'm sure he's thinking that dinner's going to taste really good.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you on our next episode.
Head Start Basketball is excited to announce their new Player Development Academy classes. This offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate their game to the next level. All player development classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center on Monday evenings. During your child's first class, we will evaluate his or her ball handling, shooting, and agility. We will discuss your availability and schedule to ensure we have them in the right class for their development. Players will be evaluated frequently to ensure they are training in the proper class for their current skill level. For more information about this class, please visit headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.